Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to talk about a news story from the Bay Area, San Francisco, and I'm going to read to you a report from the local NBC TV affiliate. And the only reason really we're going to cover this, aside from it being so sad, is to learn a lesson from the audio that we'll hear of the criminal's wife. The wife, we'll hear her audio, and this is so common when a crime has been committed, when there's overwhelming evidence. We have a case in Colorado right now where mom is bragging about what a good criminal her son is. But when people commit crimes, overwhelmingly, there are often moms or parents who absolutely are in intense denial. And even though there's a mountain of evidence, say, for example, that Scott Peterson is a murderer, the parents will utterly deny that he's guilty. And what a tragedy for them and for him, because he takes comfort in their denial, and they will all stand before God on Judgment Day, and the lies will no longer work in any way whatsoever. It will just be revealed. And it's a tragic aspect of our fallen human flesh that we will lie for people that we care about and deny their culpability, that we will be in denial and refuse to face reality. So in this case, this is the case of a dad who threw a little toddler into oncoming traffic. You may have heard about this case. The dad is a 21-year-old Oakland, California man, and he's now in jail because he threw his baby daughter into the path of a moving car, and that's according to police. Now, you'll hear his wife denying the whole thing, that it's just all fabricated. But the police say that an off-duty officer happened to be there at the scene, and he saw the father, a guy named John Taylor, shake his 18-month-old daughter and then throw her into oncoming traffic. Now, this happened about 6 o'clock on Saturday, 6 in the evening, and the car that was approaching was a Volkswagen Jetta. And it almost hit the toddler. Well, it did, sort of. The baby was thrown between the wheels of the oncoming car. So the car went over the baby, but the tires didn't crush the baby, thankfully. But the baby ended up getting injured, but only slightly injured, because the undercarriage of the car did rub against the baby. So the off-duty police officer said he saw the man shake the little girl, 18-month, a year-and-a-half-old girl, and then throw her into the lane of traffic, and then he took off running. So he takes off running, and he's pounding on cars as he's running down the street, and he's kicking cars, according to the police now. And a neighbor pulled the baby girl out from underneath the Jetta. The driver of the Volkswagen stopped suddenly, and the baby was underneath the car. So the story goes on that the girl's mom, her name is Alina Bartholomew, and she has a different last name than the father. So I said wife before, but nowadays, you can't assume that people are married because they're living together, they have children, because there's a lot of dysfunctionality, a lot of brokenness in the human condition. And when you don't have the restraints of church and government to constrain people to do what's right, then people by the tens of millions will do what's wrong. So, and the mom calls her boyfriend my baby's father, and that's what a lot of women do because they can't say my husband. So my baby's father. That's how she says it. And she says that this none of this happened. This is just not true. This is a fabrication. She had her baby with her in this NBC local news report, and you see the scar on the baby's head, or the bruise where the skin is rubbed off, and she was burned and scratched. And she says, my baby's fine. There's just a little bruise there on her head, a little scrape. That's it. And my baby's father would never have done any of these things. Now, drivers who happen to be there, they tried to stop this 21-year-old from fleeing the scene. And so they were after him. I've been involved in one of these down in South Denver when an illegal alien did a hit and run. He was in a brand new, must have been a $50,000 pickup truck, brand new, huge pickup truck. And he ran a red light, hit a car, and thought about it for a minute, backed up and took off. So I took off after him, and so did a postal worker in the postal truck, and so did another guy. And we finally trapped him in an apartment complex. It was, you know, it was interesting. Like a chase you see in the movies. And not high speed, though. It was safe. And the three of us trapped his vehicle in, and he ended up sitting in the vehicle while that was before cell phones were popular. And we were going door to door asking people who lived there to call 911, and they wouldn't. We were there for almost an hour before the police came. Finally, somebody called. But he sat in his car for 10 minutes, and then he got out to run away, and I confronted him. So he came toward me to run away, and I went to him, and he was bigger than me. But I told him I'd beat the tar out of him unless he got back in his truck and waited. Not his truck, the truck he had stolen. So he did go back in the truck, and he did wait. So the police showed up, and he was an illegal alien. At least that was my impression. Does that mean I'm a racist because I think he was an illegal alien? So that was my impression. He was an illegal alien. Otherwise, he was just a regular criminal. I don't know what kind of criminal exactly he was. But what's interesting, and one of the things that leads me to believe he was an illegal alien, is that the police never called any of us. As far as I know, I had some light contact with the other guys afterward, never called us as witnesses, ever. So that leads me to believe that they didn't charge him and they let him go. Probably let him go. So, just like the guys who were stealing there's so many stories in Colorado right now that we have such an epidemic of crime. You got two illegal aliens trying to steal Bob Wallace's vehicle, his trailer. He's 82 years old. So he gets out his gun. He shoots one of the guys. And so what's so astounding about the story is the two guys, even though they confessed, they're not being charged. They're just, if you're an illegal alien, the way it is it's a get out of jail free card. So at any rate, back to this story, the drivers in this case, passers-by who were driving, they try to stop him as he ran from the cops. And when the officers caught up with him, they found him in a violent scuffle with the drivers who had gotten out of their car to try to stop him. Because it looked like he just tried to kill a baby. A 1.5-year-old girl. He threw her into traffic. And then he starts pounding on cars and running down the street, runs away. And so the police end up tasing the guy, and they arrested him. And they arrested him on suspicion of willful cruelty to a child and resisting arrest and vandalism for kicking the cars and punching the cars. You know, they do that. They throw a lot of charges on people to try to get them to do a plea bargain and also to appease the public. Somebody commits a terrible crime, rape and murder. They charge him with all these serious crimes. The people feel good. And then a year and a half later, they, to a do a plea bargain for obstructed windshields. And everybody forgets the case anyway. So it makes the prosecutors look good. But they charged him with all that and also battery on a police officer. So I tell the story only to see the normal response of a mom, other family members, a wife. And this is, I've seen this in my life 1,000 times over. And so now we have perfect audio. So let's hear this example of how this plays out in our world.
This is 18-month-old Jayla. Her family says besides some scrapes and bruises, she's in perfect health.
My child is perfectly fine. She has a mark on her forehead from being scraped and a mark on her back, but there's no major injuries to indicate that anybody was trying to harm her.
Jayla's mother, Alina Bartholomew, is in disbelief after hearing reports that Jayla's father shook their baby and then threw her into the street where she was run over by a car.
In my heart, I know for a fact that he did not throw my child out into the street.
But according to Oakland police, an off-duty officer saw him do it, and after helping free the child from beneath the car, he went after the suspect. Other officers arrived, and police say a taser had to be used to subdue and arrest him.
I'm hurting now because I know that my baby's father is in jail facing certain charges, and I don't feel that it is reasonable.
Bartholomew says she thinks her baby's father was being attacked, and he was trying to protect their daughter.
Anybody who feels that they think that John had thrown the baby out, please get that out your mind. There is no reason to believe that. He is a great father to her.
The child's grandmother agrees Jayla's father was trying to get her out of harm's way.
That's very awful that you can walk down the street with your child and somebody attempt to do something to you with your child. He's going to try to protect just like an animal would his own.
I bet she'd choose a different illustration if she could take that back. So this is typical. Now, a shock if you hear that a loved one, somebody you care about, somebody you know, has been arrested for some kind of a terrible crime. Shock and dismay is understandable. But then you look at why the person was arrested, and you could share your shock that this is so completely out of character, but, you know, we need to look at the evidence and see what happened and deal with this. And it doesn't matter if it's my son, my brother, my cousin, my spouse. It doesn't matter who is accused of a crime. What matters is what does the evidence show? And there is such a common phenomenon where mothers say, my son is innocent, when there's a mountain of evidence, and the parents look like fools. The Lacey Peterson case, well, Scott Peterson, of course, murdering Lacey and Connor, their unborn child. And in that situation, his parents have, how tragically they've dug in to the insanity that their son is not guilty. How tragically. And so many cases, even that are currently pending, where the parents do the exact same thing. And so what we're going to do in a moment, this story occurred in Oakland, and we're going to look in Oakland at what the police chief said, that they're no longer going to respond to a list of crimes because of budget cuts. So we'll look at that list in a moment. But you know the guy who killed Natalie Holloway? And then he went to South America. He killed another young woman. Then he confessed. And he confessed to murdering Natalie Holloway when he was in Holland, Joren van der Sloot. And he was recorded on video talking to an undercover journalist, basically, a guy hired by a journalist to get the scoop on Joren van der Sloot. And he thought he was with a friend, and he opened up and he said, you know, he gave details about the crime. Then he goes to South America. He murders another woman who's starting to look in his laptop to undoubtedly see, you know, is he guilty of murdering, of committing the first murder? And now his mom says he's not guilty. Well, first of all, how would she know? Does he invite her when he murders young women? He invites her, his mom, when he drugs them and sexually molests them and murders them? Is that what he does? And that's how mom knows he didn't do it. So there is a lust. It's a lust. And lust comes in different forms, you know. There's an approbation lust, a lust for approval, a lust to defend my child regardless of what he has done, regardless of the evidence, and to be in willful denial. And so what that does is, it's hard to quantify, but generally people don't respect the opinion of parents when it comes to, you know, serious crisis in a family. Because parents, you can rely on them to lie and to lie to the police and say, my son was here all night. And so in the Ten Commandments, the foundation of a criminal justice system, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not covet, because that shows us oftentimes motive. So many times when a young man is shaking a toddler or an infant, it's because the toddler is inconvenient and he's angry. And kids grow up without spanking, without discipline. They don't have boundaries. They have minimal self-control. And so they become parents and they don't have self-control. And the it requires some self-control and maturity to take care of a child who's hungry or tired or sick or simply not being raised well. And so you've got a 21-year-old who probably went to public school, probably has no boundaries, probably is, you know, XYZ, although he has a wife who loves him. But it seems pretty typical when there's a young couple and the husband has no boundaries, that a wife will make excuses for him, even call his boss and say, well, he's sick, when really he's drunk. So this happened in Oakland, California, and there the police chief, now the two stories, they're not exactly related, but the police chief, Anthony Batts, he said because of budget cuts that he is about to issue an order that police will no longer respond to a list of crimes. And I'll tell you the list of crimes. Now, public schools do this all the time. If there's a 5% budget cut coming, they tell the parents, if we don't get our tax increase, if this levy doesn't pass, if our budget gets cut, and they give them the list of programs they're going to cut. And they always say, we're going to cut the football program. We're going to cut all the things the parents like the most. And why not cut one of the administrators? Just cut the administrator. But no, they cut the things the parents like the most, so the parents will get angry and give them more money, and it's all a scam. But there's a great video, a great movie, a documentary playing in Denver right now at the Stars Film Festival called The Lottery, about the scam of the public school monopoly and bureaucracy in New York City, but really all over the country. So anyway, here's a list in Oakland, California, of crimes that the police will no longer respond to. At least if you call them, they won't come out. All right? They're not going to come out if you call up and say, your car was vandalized, somebody broke the windows, spray painted your car, they're not going to come out. If you call and say that someone is attempting or someone is extorting me, extortion, they say, we're not going to come out. They say if there are fraudulent checks or forged notes or false money order vouchers, they're not going to come out. You could go online. You could send them an email. Go online, but they're not going to respond. They're not going to come out if you call them. If there is theft, they're not going to respond. Embezzlement, you own a business, you catch one of your employers embezzling, you call up, they're not going to come out. Now, they might, if you send them an email and it looks serious enough, or you go on their website and you fill out their form, maybe they will come out. But as a general rule, the police chief said that beginning 5 p.m. today, they're not going to respond. If you call in a burglary, they're not going to respond. A burglary. So, and 30 other crimes, they're not going to respond. If somebody dumps waste on your property, they're not going to respond. It's just too much. So there is a crisis. And one thing that we have going for us, those of us who are conservative Christians who follow the Lord Jesus Christ and take his word, the Bible, seriously, one thing we have going for us is reality. Because liberals rebel against God, which means they rebel against reality, and their programs are all inherent failures. So Europe, the socialism in Europe is in extreme financial crisis. Canada, every place where they have these, I said every place, but so many places where they have government health care, nationalized health care, they're starting to charge for their free health care because their systems are virtually bankrupt. Here in America, even, our socialist programs of Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and all the Bush entitlements, billion-dollar entitlement programs given to us by Republicans over the decades, it took Obama finally to increase government spending more than the average Republican administration. It took Obama. So the Republicans should be thankful, because now we can't say that Republicans increase spending faster than Democrats. Obama, just don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion, because he'd spend it if he knew it was there. So the thing we have going for us that liberals do not is reality. We have reality. You can't just print money and think, well, you can think it, but everything's not going to just keep getting better as you just print more and more money. And if the solution to a bad economy is spend $1 trillion, give $1 trillion to people to pretend that they're working, well, then why not give $5 trillion to everybody? Why not make everybody wealthy? Just let the government send a check for $10,000 to everybody, and we could all spend it and kickstart the economy. Wouldn't that be great? What if the government said, on August 1st, every person in America will have $1 million, $1 million check, every person on August 1st? Because the government's just going to print the money. That wouldn't be too hard, right? What are there, 320 million of us? So just print 320 million, $1 million checks, send them out, and make everybody wealthy. What would happen on August 1st? There would be complete calamity. Our economy would collapse. Absolutely collapse. People would be trying to spend this money, and every hour the inflation would probably be 80,000% an hour inflation. And there would be sheer insanity, and no one would be richer, and most people would be manipulated and lose out by the few people who figured out how to profit from the insanity. So we have a broken system, but if you're a Christian, take heart, because God's word is true, and we have this advantage over liberals. We have reality. Now, do we have time to play this guy? We played this yesterday, and people were cracking up over this guy. And we get calls like this often, and this is a liberal who disagrees with everything he hears on the show, apparently, and the TV show, which is airing out of Aurora, Colorado right now, Bob and Yurt Live on Channel 23. You could only get that broadcast over the air, Channel 23. And in this, which is so typical of liberals, he wants to insult me So he insults me by saying I'm a homosexual. So if being a homosexual was so great, why would millions of liberals instinctively try to insult people by saying that, accusing them of that? Let's hear this. It's funny.
Yeah. Hi, Bob.
Hi,
what
Phil.
What are you?
What am I?
What are you?
Human being.
You make no sense whatsoever. You rant, you rave.
Yeah.
Are you sometimes gay?
No.
You look gay. Do you quote everything? You keep doing the quote thing and your hands keep like going around and around and around. Okay, hello, hello. I think I'm a little gay guy. You say yes. Oh. Okay, what is your point? What is your point that you're trying? You don't make any point whatsoever.
When you call a talk show, have a point.
What are you? You're ridiculous. God.
It's just, it's funny. Phil is funny, no? I think Phil is funny. And it's so typical. When I, over my life of listening to talk radio, I started listening to talk radio and calling talk radio in the 70s in New York City when Michael Jackson was the talk show host. Most people don't know that Michael Jackson was a popular talk show host in the 70s. Not that Michael Jackson. There was a different Michael Jackson. And I'd call in, and I was young, and the, you know, talk show hosts often get a kick out of it when a young person is listening and calls in. And so I probably got interested in talk radio, you know, I did way back then in the 70s. But when I would call, if I'm going to disagree with Mike Rosen, say on KOA, if I'm going to send him an email, leave a voicemail for him, call him up, talk to him, go to lunch with him, I'm going to have a point, at least a point. I'm going to have a point. If you go through the effort to call someone, leave a message that you disagree, have a point. It's so interesting when you talk to liberals who don't believe there's such a thing as right and wrong. They don't believe there's such a thing as truth. And then they want to criticize someone, and everything they think to say, they can't say because it would contradict them. I have Christian friends who think it's wrong to judge, and they say the problem with their view is they don't know how to express it because they're hesitant to criticize anyone who judges, because then they'd be judging. It's the funniest thing. Our website is kgov.com. May God bless you guys.